The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Kids Spirit Online. The first article is titled, I Came, I Adapted, I Thrived. Resilience in Our Globalized World. This is written by Nathan Zhang. In this increasingly globalized world, people have to adapt to be successful, but adapting is not always easy. I still remember the day in 2012 when my mom told me that we were going to move to China because of her job relocation. However, as the date got closer, I started to become more and more scared. What if we were actually moving? What would happen to me? As the date began to creep closer and closer, like a tiger coming up onto its prey, I began to realize that I was really going to leave for China. I was devastated at the idea of moving across the world. I spent many nights crying and asking my mom why we were moving to a country that I had barely been into my entire life. I didn't know what the environment was like there, or what the people were like, or if I would make any new friends. But the dreaded moment finally came. As I boarded the plane, I waited for my mom to change her mind, or tell me it was all a prank. When we took off, I saw the place I knew, the place I called home, getting smaller and smaller by the second as I headed into the vast unknown. Looking back, it is obvious now that I fell victim to fear of the new and different. At the time, for me, the frightened unknown was called China, a country into which my many global companies were rushing in the hope of grabbing a piece of its big emerging market. With my mom's job relocation there, I had no choice but to go to Beijing, but I was still unwilling to prepare myself for that strange city. Stories like mine are becoming increasingly common. Globalization has caused many different cultures and languages to come in contact with each other, since now we can easily travel all the way around the world. This ever-surging flow of peoples and commodities constitute a new environment that we must face every day. These new environments require adaptation if we want to thrive. As the quote often misattributed to Charles Darwin says, it is not the strongest or the most intelligent who will survive, but those who can best manage change. Adaptation to new environments can be classified into various categories. The first category is physical adaptation. This includes adjusting to the environment, like the weather or the landscape of a new country. There is also linguistic adaptation, which is about learning the language of a new country. We don't necessarily need to learn the entire language, but we need to at least learn what are often regarded as survival words, like hello, goodbye, thank you, and I don't speak this language. Finally, there is acclimating to a country's culture, which means eating that nation's food, learning its customs and history, and so on. Cultural adaptation also includes familiarizing yourself with the social structure of the new environment and learning behavioral expectations, table manners, and what is considered polite or rude. But why is adaptation so important to the resilience of human beings, and how does it make us stronger and more successful in the future? I found out about how we can be stronger by physically adapting. Perhaps we need to just look at the animal kingdom. In the natural world, there are two types of species, generalists and specialists. Generalists survive on a wide variety of food. An example of a generalist would be the raccoon, who can eat even garbage. Specialists, on the other hand, can only eat a very limited selection of food that may be native to a particular environment. A good example of a specialist is the koala, which only eats eucalyptus leaves. Although specialists are very successful in their particular habitats or ecosystems, they are usually less adaptable than generalists and go extinct much more quickly. In today's globalized society, humans are required to be generalists, adaptable to different environments, rather than specialists, capable of thriving only in one local habitat. To make my point of how essential cultural and social adaptation is to human resilience, let me tell you the story of a friend I'll call Dave. Dave was my former neighbor's child, who moved from Oklahoma City to Beijing at the same time that I did, January of 2013. And for the same reason as mine, a parent's job relocation. Although he was already in Beijing, the center of China, Dave resisted opening himself up to his new home. He thought that China was boring, with nowhere to go and play, and he didn't try to explore. He continued to behave how he would have in America, and he didn't follow any of the Chinese customs, since he didn't want to immerse himself in the culture. He also didn't try to eat Chinese food, but instead frequented only those very few American restaurants in Beijing. More importantly, he didn't try to learn the local language, which is essential because most Chinese people know little to no English. He claimed that Chinese was too difficult for him. This means that he couldn't do such simple things as ask people how much money something cost or how to go somewhere. He constantly had to have a Chinese English speaker around to translate or interpret for him. While Dave was in Beijing, he was very frustrated that he couldn't make any friends with the local kids. He kept complaining to me and other American kids in our neighborhood about how much he hated China and how Chinese people didn't understand him. One time, he got lost and he couldn't ask for directions, so his parents had to call the police to find him. He was constantly in a bad mood, and it was not long before this started to affect his life in and outside of school. Eventually, his parents had no choice but to send him back to America. I understood this decision, for Dave's inability to adapt physically, linguistically, and culturally to China had made him very unhappy in his new environment. On the day I went to the airport to see him off, I felt sad, looking at him disappearing into the departing crowd. I could hardly imagine what he had been through during his time in Beijing. For the first few weeks after I moved to China, I had the same feelings as Dave. I had an advantage over him and many of the other international students in Beijing because I already knew quite a lot of Chinese. But the climate, the environment, atmosphere, and culture were indeed very different from those in the U.S., and I still had to adjust. Not long after I arrived in Beijing, I told myself that as I was already there, I had better get used to whatever life was like in my new home. One of the big things was adjusting to the smog and traffic. I had to learn lots of Chinese customs, such as taking off my shoes when I visited the house of a local resident. Also, Beijing is very crowded, and residents can only drive on certain days dictated by the government. So I had to get used to using public transportation and taxis much more often. At first, it was hard to adapt to these customs, since they were so different from those back home. But I tried my best, and eventually I did it. Unlike Dave, I managed to adapt to Beijing. I ended up, upon my departure in 2016, liking to eat Chinese noodles and rice, knowing how to interact with the local people, making a lot of friends, and feeling reluctant to come back to the U.S. Being adaptable in our globalized world is a powerful tool that allows people to be more resilient and strong in new places, especially in a foreign country like China. If people are adaptable, they can thrive anywhere and be prepared for every situation. Being adaptable does not necessarily mean transforming oneself, however, one encounters a new environment. Instead, it is about opening oneself up to new ideas, foods, customs, languages, and cultures. It's about renewing and enriching oneself with something new and different, even if it is unpleasant in the beginning. As people do this, they will find themselves more free and open-minded, and will have a better chance of thriving anywhere in the world. The next article is titled Resilience Through Passion. This is written by Huzaif Laikat. Success comes to those who dedicate everything to their passion in life. To be successful, it is also very important to be humble and never let fame or money travel to your head. This is a quote from A.R. Rahman. We all have a passion. However, most people nowadays end up giving up on their true passions for more material things, such as money, a nice house, good food, and a comfortable life. What they do not know, however, is that if we follow and achieve our dreams, these material needs may come to us eventually, and that these things themselves are temporary, while the satisfaction gained from fulfilling our potential is eternal. Many factors in life may make it difficult to pursue our passions. People may mock us, but inner fulfillment can only be achieved by ignoring all these hurdles and following our passions with resilience. To find true satisfaction in the world, we have to stay true to ourselves and develop resilience to handle the difficulties the world sets for us. Paulo Coelho illustrates the rewards of pursuing our purpose perfectly in his novel, The Alchemist. Young Santiago discovers his life's purpose at an early age of 16 and spends the next 10 years pursuing it. Though he loses so much during his journey, it is more important for him to find his treasure. He learns about the world and how it works, about compassion and cruelty, the deserts and the mountains, history and magic, growth and neglect, and about the aspect of life that is not visible, the unseen world of the spirit. Through Santiago's tale, Coelho shows that if you give up on your passion, it will leave you without direction. He also teaches us this lesson with the story of the crystal merchant, who is too afraid to follow his goal and risk losing his wealth and material gain. If you're not willing to sacrifice other needs for your passion, it may not be your real passion after all. In other words, finding out if you are willing to make sacrifices is also important while finding your passion. But whatever setbacks stand in the way of young Santiago, he ignores them and refuses to back down. He shows true grit and resilience, which leads him to achieve the fulfillment he longs for. A good example of how following your passions with complete disregard for all setbacks can lead us to achieve our long-desired goal is Muhammad Ali Jinnah, the founder of Pakistan. His ambition was finding a place where Muslims of the Indian subcontinent could live and practice their religious beliefs peacefully after gaining freedom from the British colonial authorities. Jinnah gave the Muslims direction and struggled for them despite all barriers, including his own health. Jinnah was diagnosed with tuberculosis after he decided to participate in the establishment of Pakistan. He could have easily ignored the needs of other less fortunate Muslims and focused on his own problems, but he did not give up on them and became inspiration for for many people to give up their personal needs in order to follow their passions. Another person who has showed me that following a passion can make us stronger is not famous, but is one of my heroes in my life, my uncle, Ethan Ullah Bajwa. As a former Deputy Inspector General of Police and member of the UN War Crimes Tribunal, he has had a distinguished career. Yet, he has not cared for material gain, and instead has completely devoted his life to his passion, gaining knowledge which has made him spiritually and intellectually more capable than others. His very presence makes me feel like I am with a person who is much more advanced than I am. He can introduce people to knowledge that can alter their long-held beliefs and open their minds to a completely new perspective they could never see before. Not everyone craves reading books and gaining knowledge, but my uncle does, and that very thing has brought him greatness. He has not cared about going after jobs his whole life, because he does not have to look for them. It's as if jobs are looking for him. He never gave in to the everlasting temptation of material gain. He disregarded offers which would have earned him a lot of money, but at the same time acted as hurdles in the path toward his goal, and instead continued life in the way his passion guided him. Uncle Ihsan is the best example I can find of the fact that we never need to work for something harder than we work for our true than we work for our true passions. Some of us may wonder, what is the benefit of following our passions? After all, it is much easier to give in to simpler methods of gaining happiness. I feel those who make this argument have never really experienced the ultimate satisfaction and feeling of accomplishment that comes from achieving a goal one is passionate about. This feeling is the ultimate reward of a life spent following one's own true path. Life may seem to be on the right track when we are following our dreams, but we always have to be careful. We should not focus on material gain, but should also never harm anyone else while pursuing our passion. For example, a person whose passion is to travel around the world should never pose himself a burden to anyone by making someone else, such as a parent, finance a trip. He or she should work hard for this passion and never forget it, as all good things come through hard work and resilience. My passion is to live in a way that benefits everyone around me. I always try to help everybody I know. I also aim to be friendly to everyone and to guide them through any hardship they have. I try to make everyone feel that when they talk to me, they are talking to a friend. By nature, I may not be the most generous person, but I strive to be as generous as I can by helping everyone around me in any way possible. I would always prefer to be a helper in people's lives rather than remain a spectator. And I think that I'm headed in the right direction. Every single being on earth has a purpose. A life is wasted if that purpose is not fulfilled. And wasting a life is a sin as great as destroying a soul. When we find our passions, we should follow them with grit and should not care about any other thing in the world, because we can only achieve ultimate happiness when we follow our ambitions with resilience. The next article is titled, My Upbringing Has Taught Me to Fight to Stand Strong. This is written by Nargis Kathrumathur. Nargis Kathrumathur. The world is a confusing place. Some people are nice, but many are not. When someone hurts you, you can't show them you're afraid. there are many instances when I have come face to face with such problems. People have bullied me and put me down, but my friends, family, and teachers have always been by my side, guiding me to become an independent protagonist. At school and at home, I've been taught to ignore what people say about me and to just be myself. I have learned a great deal from my upbringing and will value those lessons forever. My school, Riverside, has had a great influence on me. It has shown me the world and the people in it, some keeping it together, some tearing it apart. I have attended Riverside since I was 4 years old, and its practices have taught me what it is to be a true leader, a protagonist. It has given me the power to believe in myself and have confidence in my own capabilities. The way I have been brought up in my school has made me a superhero by showing me that I can, in Gandhi's words, be the change and help people no matter my age. Riverside is getting me ready for the world, the sorrows and losses I may face, the disappointment I may be to people, the friends who may break my trust. I know not giving up on myself. In times of sadness and change, I have learned not to let the anger get to me and to just think. If I stop and think for a moment, letting the problem get into my head and weave its way around my brain, I can understand and solve it. When I know something is wrong, I won't just ignore the problem, but think of ways to make it better. Once, in class, my friends were fighting amongst one another. Even though I wasn't a part of it, I tried to resolve it and make them see reason. I could have backed away, as it was not my fight, but I chose to add value. My school, since the very beginning, has given me the opportunity to explore my surroundings and shown me what freedom tastes like. As I grew up, I understood that not everyone has that freedom to do what they like. By practicing FIDS, which stands for Feel, Imagine, Do, and Share, I became more aware of people like this. FIDS is a process for empathizing with others. By stepping into their shoes, I feel what they feel, try to imagine how I can help, put the idea into action, and then share about the surplus I added to the community to make people aware. This practice has helped me show gratitude for what I have. Whenever I feel like I'm taking my life for granted, I think about people less fortunate than I am. Riverside has also helped me think more deeply about problems like climate change and human rights. My school has even gone on to empower us to make our own contributions to improve these matters. In grade 5, my class went through an Agarbatti, incense stick experience. In order to understand the concept of children's rights and how they are abused. One way people treat children unfairly is by forcing them to work in factories all day long for very little income. My classmates and I spent 3 days in a big black tent rolling Agarbattis. Our idea was to help underserved children by selling our Agarbattis and using the money to buy tickets for the kids to go to a Garba, Indian dance celebration, so they could have some fun. We shared this process with our school and society. By helping now, we can make a big difference in the world later. My school says that every child has the passion to lead the world and make it a better place. My parents have also played a big role in my journey of growing up, from wiping my tears to giving me strength when I feel low. They have helped me become independent and confident. Even learning to walk was due to their encouragement and confidence that I could stand on my own feet. When I was angry or frustrated, they gave me reasons why I shouldn't be and made me look on the bright side. They taught me to talk to somebody and share my feelings when I'm down. My parents have always said I have all their love and support, and that's really helped me to look on the bright side whenever I have a problem. When I came home complaining about the amount of work given at school, they were enthusiastic to help me clear my thoughts and focus on the work, which turned out to be pretty easy after all. My father always tells me to forgive and forget, because letting go of the problem and not lingering on it will help me move past it. We fought once, and my dad said sorry, but I kept persisting on the matter. He later explained that dwelling on a problem only makes one angrier, so accepting the apology is best. When I'm struggling, I share my feelings, sometimes with a friend, sometimes with one of my parents, sometimes with a teacher. Whatever it is, the issue is soon sorted out, and gradually, I have learned to figure out my own problems. My parents and teachers have brought me up in such a way that I always have faith in myself and know to do the right thing. They have made me what I am today. They have taught me to learn from my mistakes, to be the change I want to see, and most of all, to believe that I can. I can take ownership. I can help the world. I can be a leader. I can be the change. Well, all right, we have come to the end of today's episode of Teen Magazine. Please be sure to listen next time. We hope that you've enjoyed it. My name is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.